First, to what's going on at WBAI. Late last Friday night, Pacifica's Executive Director Bessie Warsh came down to the WBAI offices on the 10th floor of the imposing 120 Wall Street building that overlooks the East River, and she brought with her longtime programmer Utrice Lead and a locksmith who changed the locks on all the office doors as well as the station's main doors. That was to set the stage for the firing of General Manager Valerie Van Isler, Bernard White, WBAI's program director and wake-up call host, that's their morning show, and a 20-year veteran at the station, along with Sharan Harper, wake-up call's executive producer and a WBAI shop steward, which made the firing illegal since it didn't go through the process. When served with their termination papers early Saturday morning, Harper and White were threatened with being charged with trespassing and by extension arrest if they set foot in the station, let alone the building. A court order was taken out by Pacifica against Bernard White, Sharan Harper, and Van Isler, who have yet to retrieve their personal property. Wash also named Utrice Lead, host of the afternoon talkback show, as interim general manager, replacing Van Isler. On Tuesday, December 26th, three more unpaid staffers were banned from the station. Janice K. Bryant, a line producer on Wake Up Call, Serene Roberts and Eileen Sutton, a volunteer news reporter who has been reporting on the crisis on the Internet. A fourth staffer, Rachel Barr, was banned on Wednesday. On Tuesday, Lee called the first staff meeting since the lockout, which by all accounts was a grueling, contentious affair. Security guards have been in place at the station since Sunday night, and access to the station is still restricted. Guards have been reported roaming through the station at different times, using cell phones or walkie-talkies. Many staffers say the environment is intimidating and tense, but these are not your ordinary security guards or the kind of folks we saw here at KPFA. They are apparently friends of the new manager, Utrice Lead, and are members of something called the United African Movement, whose director is Alton Maddox, an old crony of Al Sharpton. Lead said that they are doing this as a favor to her. Paul Williams, a Green Party member now from New Jersey and a long-term WBAI staffer and operations manager, is apparently one of the people heading the security, although a number of Greens are demonstrating outside in front of the station. Many programmers on the air are openly expressing their concerns. There is no gag rule at the moment. And in some cases, their outrage at what they see as a Pacifica takeover. Some have been running educational programs to educate listeners about Pacifica's now pro-corporate national board. But many have also expressed private fears that they may at any moment be taken off the air in retaliation for their views. So far, there's no official gag rule in place, though staffers say they were warned by Lead in Tuesday's staff meeting to show, quote-unquote, professional responsibility on the air. Staffers say Lead chastised the on-air reporting of what she considers merely, quote, internal personnel matters. They said Lead told programmers who discussed the crisis on the air that they are abusing the listeners' trust. A memo was also issued by Lead threatening, quote-unquote, disciplinary action should any staff member help White, Harper, or Van Isler get into the station. They have, however, been interviewed on the air. At least White and Harper have. A vote taken at Tuesday's staff meeting to bring back White and Harper and reverse the firings and bannings, number 20 in favor, no opposed, and two abstentions. On Wednesday night, upwards of 1,100 concerned listeners, WBI staff and press packed a union hall in Lower Manhattan to protest recent developments and get information. The standing room only crowd, which you could actually see on the Internet, the standing room only crowd heard impassioned speeches by many WBI regulars, including Bernard White, Janice K. Bryant, who I mentioned, Amy Goodman of Democracy Now!, Grandpa Al Lewis, who's been there for ages, Bob Fass, a night show host very famous in New York, has a show early in the morning, and Robert Knight, longtime news staff person. A large demonstration is being planned, and there have been daily protests outside the station. Although there are conflicting press reports as to whether Wash or Lead made the decision to fire White and Harper, Wash recently said on the air in an interview with Lead that Lead now runs WBAI, and it is in her power to rehire both White and Harper if she so chooses. Currently, White's possessions are being packed up and presumably will be sent to him. Of the six staffers so far ousted or banned, four are African-American, including the two top office holders, White and Van Isler. Van Isler was not a popular general manager. People objected to the way she was dismissed, not that she was dismissed. For more information on daily updates and to be put on an email list for up-to-the-minute information, you can call 718-707-7189 or 800-825-0055. I'll repeat those numbers later in the broadcast. Now, while I dial up Andrew Phillips, let's hear some sounds from outside the door of WBAI when Mimi Rosenberg, a volunteer programmer and WBAI lab member, tries to get in the door. Let's go to that, and I'm going to call Andrew.
Right, but you are not obeying the law right now. You need to know. Wait, excuse me. But it's not just about talking. We are. This is our work site. We have a right to be here. You have no right to do this. Don't push me. I don't know. What they are doing is illegal. You can't block access in a not-for-profit building, and you can't block access. You understand you're disobedient to law. You're setting lawsuits up for yourselves. You have no right to block people's ingress and out.
Thank you very much.
This is my work site, sir. I am being illegally locked out by tribal people who have nothing to do with my work.
These are producers at WBAI. Please let them in. There is no reason to stop them access. This is our station and their station.
Are you saying you will arrest us if we... Because you are... I want to know if you're going to commit an illegal act.
I don't think that I ever said the word arrest.
I'm asking you that because otherwise I'm going to go in.
Ask it again.
You're pushing me out, Officer Mason. Are you saying you're going to arrest me?
Can we get you? Who is the person?
This is my work site. You have no right to keep me out. You're pushing me.
Are you the person in charge?
So you are going to arrest us. You're saying you're going to arrest us.
And that was a bit of a confrontation.
And that was my friend Dennis Bernstein, the voice you heard there. A bit of a confrontation. Mimi Rosenberg trying to get into the station. I recorded that from a record that was from live from WBAI. Okay, and now I have on the telephone Andrew Phillips. Andrew was a program director at, or PD as they call it, WBAI from 1989 to 1993. He was hailed for some of the innovations. First, he had some hail thrown at him, but then he was hailed for some of the innovations he brought to the station programming, including the moving of Amy Goodman from the evening to the morning show, and the rest, of course, is history. Welcome, Andrew, to San Francisco Liberation Radio.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey. It's very nice to talk to you on Liberation Radio.
Yes,
huh?
It is. Yes, this is our eighth year on the air. We go from the beach into a good part of San Francisco, down to the Mission, Chinatown, and so on. So and we have a lot of loyal listeners who have been probably wondering what's going on with BAI. Tonight is the one-week anniversary of the changing of the locks and the changing of the guard, or installation of the guards, as it were. I know you haven't been directly involved with the station in recent years, but you have been observing the week's developments and attended the mass meeting on Wednesday. I actually saw that on the Internet. It's an impressive sight. And when we spoke last night, we discussed how much more complicated the issues are at WBAI than they were at KPFA, complications that have been largely ignored out here on the West Coast as we try to do our best to show our solidarity with the BAI station staff. Before I phoned, I described the basic details of what went down, the late night changing of the locks, the firings, the bannings, the installation of Utrecht Lead as general manager, backed up by her guards, and the fact that there has been mobilization among the dissident listeners, which culminated in Wednesday's meeting. Now, what can you tell us about how things are shaping up inside and outside the station, as best you know it at the time, at this time?
Right. Here's what I know, Jeffrey. This morning, the band program director, Bernard White, I don't know how this happened, but he got into the station. In fact, the guards have been called off, and my understanding is that it's a little bit easier to get access to the station than it was, though some of the people that have been banned cannot get into the station. You have to be on a list. I understand the station's on Wall Street, which in itself is a great contradiction, in my opinion, on the 10th floor of a building down there.
With a nice view.
So right there, it's very different to the situation in Berkeley, California, where, of course, KPFA own their own premises, and access is much simpler for the public even than it is in New York City. So anyway, the program director got onto the air and gave a very passionate defense of his position and was very critical of the current acting manager who's been put in, of course, by Pacifica Board. Her name is Utrecht Lead, as I think you know, obviously. And so that happened. So that was interesting. There's great turmoil over here, Jeffrey. It's very confusing, but I have to say that the issues that we're really discussing right now, I don't think are actually the important issues, because the fact is that, for instance, the manager who was also band-sacked, Valerie Van Isler, whilst she was a fine third-world journalist, and by that I mean a journalist who specialized in third-world affairs at WBI for many years, became station manager about 10 years ago when I was program director, actually. This was back in 1990. I suppose this sounds a little bit perhaps biased, but I did not think she was, I did not think then that she was the appropriate person to be manager, and we did not have a very good relationship. However, over the years, I think it was proven to be not such a bad observation by some of us that she wasn't the right person, since she was the one that banned the union from WBAI. She was very much engaged in representing Pacifica's interests, I would say, against the listeners' interests. And she was largely disliked by the staff, which is very different to the situation at KPFA, where Nicole Sawyer was respected and loved by both staff and listeners. This was not the case in New York with Valerie Van Isler. Valerie was removed, however, from the station, and the action taken by Pacifica, in fact, galvanized the producers and the audience around Valerie because of the way it was done. And, of course, this is, in a sense, a red herring. And whilst I don't like the way it was done, and I don't respect or agree with the way she was removed from the station, it's really not the issue. The issue, to me, seems to be around the legal side of this. There are, as you know, three or four legal cases now against the Pacifica Board, which seem to be doing pretty well, actually. And there is discovery processes ongoing, though I think it's going to be too slow and too gradual and take too much time for these legal cases to have real effect on what is a very, very fast-moving situation.
Well, there is a possibility, or the threat hanging in the background, going back to a famous memo by Michael Palmer on the board from Houston, of the possibility of selling both KPFA and WBAI, and the desirability of, in fact, of selling BAI first, because it might be easier and would bring in more money.
Yes. Well, let me postulate this, Jeffrey, and let me make sure that we understand your audience, and you understand this is a postulation, it's a supposition, it's not based on any actual events so far, but it's true to say that the Pacifica license is held by the Pacifica National Board, isn't it?
That's correct.
That's right. And as the licensee, they are responsible for maintaining control of the radio station under FCC regulations. And if a radio station is seen to be out of control, if the licensee, in this case Pacifica, is seen to be out of control of their radio station, the FCC has the right and perhaps even the obligation to step in and either remove the license or in some way take over the situation, you know. So I think this is a realistic threat in this situation at WBAI, as it was also in at KPFA. Now, that card hasn't been pulled yet, but it could be. And one should keep in mind that as we go through this electoral process nationally, that the current FCC chairman, Kennard, is going to be replaced, as I understand it, by Colin Powell Jr., who is Colin Powell Sr.'s son, whatever that means. But Colin Powell Jr. was formerly the president of the National Association of Broadcasters. So what we're seeing here is a move to the right of the FCC. The FCC, as you know, is or was supportive under Kennard, the old FCC commissioner, in favour of and supportive of low-power radio, correct?
That's correct, except we would have been excluded as someone who had been on the air before the licenses would have been issued. But he was making an effort, at least, to expand it to 1,000 stations around the country.
I would say it stands to logic that that's not no longer going to happen with this new administration.
Agreed.
I would think that would be a fairly logical conclusion, wouldn't you think?
I agree.
So I think we're in real danger here. I think that... Congruent to this, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, under his Vice President Rick Madden, has not been a friend of Pacifica, particularly of the Pacifica stations, though perhaps of the Pacifica National Board. The station is in danger of losing its CPB funding also because of some of the programming that WBAI has been engaged in. Now, I think their programming was appropriate. They ran a long speech by Fidel Castro recently. They also represented the Palestinian movement very vociferously in programming, and that didn't go over too well in terms of the fairness doctrine over at the CPB.
Well, actually, one thing I should mention, it wasn't publicized out here, but on October 10th, WBAI played live a rally in Washington, D.C. for the Palestinians' right of return,
right,
which is the one issue that sticks in the craw of every Zionist. And Rick Madden, the vice president of the CPB, called Pacifica to complain. And he says his complaint was not that the content, but that people in New York accused WBAI of receiving Arab money, which, of course, was nonsense. But obviously, if they wanted heads to roll, it would have been the GM, the general manager, and the program director.
Well, you know, that's true. And once again, it's supposition, but it's reasonable because we don't know. And when Bessie Wash, who is the incoming new executive director of Pacifica, former WPFW station manager out of Washington, called for the sacking, apparently, of the program director and the station manager, Valerie Van Isler. She was acting under some authority. We don't know whose. We don't know why. Utrecht Lead, who's the current manager. And by the way, Utrecht Lead was, and I think to some extent still is, a very respected activist, powerful voice in this listener-supported community. She's a former editor of the City Sun, which was a very respectable alternative newspaper here in New York City. She was brought in by Samori Marksman, and she did a four-day-a-week program called Talk Back during the drive time slot in the afternoons. We don't know why Utrecht is basically playing this role for Pacifica. One can speculate, but one doesn't actually know. I mean, it's a very complicated issue, and I would say that the only light in the tunnel here, if it is indeed a light, has to do with the legal end of it, because as I pointed out before, and we understand, the FCC has the right, if a station's out of control, to pull the license. Now, that seems to be very dangerous. And the situation in New York, as we speak tonight, is essentially out of control. We have a station which is in uproar. We had a meeting the other night where roughly 1,500 people attended, which is big for New York. I know that may not be big for Berkeley. I think you had 15,000 people.
Well, that was at a rally after many months. 1,500 is a good turnout.
Okay. I also want to say that this is an aside, that it was very strange that as this crisis unfolded, and it did not just start last week, Jeffrey, it's been ongoing for a long time, that the producer community at WBAI were very, very loath to let some of the listener activists on the air, to any of the listener activists on the air, to draw attention to the deeper implications of this struggle. And that's not clear why that was so, that Valerie Van Isler did not, Bernard White did not. In fact, strangely, the only person who really gave adequate coverage to the issues that many of us have been critical of relative to the Pacifica National Foundation was the new acting manager, Utrecht Lead. So So I really don't understand how she was kind of co-opted in this manner. It's a very strange, complicated situation.
And on the other hand, Bernard White, when we were being cracked down on here, put Mary Frances Berry on the air. So it's
That's
like
right.
topsy-turvy.
So I think it really shows that there is a divide-and-conquer strategy, one could speculate here. And I think WBAI is on dangerous ground right now. And I am urging anyone who will listen, and I'm afraid there aren't many people who seem interested, that the legal recourse. I mean, when the elections were rigged by the Republicans down in Florida, the courts acted really quickly. And I don't think they're going to be as nearly concerned about WBAI. But I would say that it's really important that we get very, very strong legal representation to get this court case moving. And because we have an illegally constituted national board, which is at the center of this problem.
One of the things that is troubling is, or two things. One is that the money that will be used to fight the court cases are going to come out of listeners' donations.
Exactly.
Then Bertram Lee, who's also African American, who's on the board, his business is buying and selling radio stations. And I could see a situation also in January. Comes the fundraiser, the marathon, and it looks from here at this time that if the BAI hasn't come something completely some new development, that fundraiser will be a disaster.
Well, already, if
which would then
possibly you know,
selling
people
it.
Don't write their checks immediately. People have been calling the station and said, forget about it. We're not going to write our check based on the last fundraiser. And you're absolutely right. Why would they write a check to an organization which is in such a disarray, which is using money to change the locks, to break the union, and to lock out, although she may not be very liked, but the way it was done, to lock out the station manager and the program director.
And so, obviously, this is coming up within a month, this marathon, and I could see, or could you see the possibility, if they do very poorly, the legal cases is a good possibility of something going to court this month in, or next month in January, that them turning around to sell the station. What's what is there to prevent BAI from being sold at this point?
What is there to prevent WBAI being sold? Jeffrey? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, but that is a key question. And I have to tell you that I don't think that many of the listed... You see, following the meeting, this is a very fast-breaking story. Committees have been formed, and there'll be meetings in New York tomorrow to discuss these issues. But it seems to me, unfortunately, that many of the issues that will be discussed have to do with the rehiring of the station manager and the rehiring of the program director, which I think is water under the bridge and entirely irrelevant. I think the kinds of issues that you're bringing up tonight are the important ones, and I don't think they're really being discussed. And it's a great shame. I feel a great sense of sadness and trepidation about the situation, and I don't feel there's anything much that I can do. I mean, I'm a former radio producer who now works as a gardener, Jeffrey.
But I know, but
you... closely, I'm very interested. I love the station. I love broadcasting. I love free-form radio, and I think it's important. But I think we're seeing a resource being terribly wasted by people who I think should know better, and it's a very sad situation. And as I said, I think that we need very... I wish Bill Kunstler was around still. We need a strong, powerful voice to stand up and investigate the legal implications, to talk about the FCC situation, and to get this message out, because I don't think it matters how many listeners are going to demonstrate, because frankly, New York's a big city. WBAI does not have a big proportion of the of listeners relative to the size of the city. We're a pimple on a pumpkin here. Berkeley is a bigger station relative to its community, and in a more organized community as well. It's a much more difficult fight at the WBAI end in New York City, and I'm pretty depressed about it at the moment. But I'm hoping for the best, and I'm here to say what I think if need be. But as I say, I'm not in the race anymore. I'm sort of watching this from the sidelines, and
that's
it's
why,
not a pretty sight.
That's why your observations are of value, because I know your reputation. And Andrew Phillips, we've been talking to Andrew Phillips, a former program director at WBAI. Thanks very much for being on San Francisco Liberation Radio. A happy new year for all of us. It may be our last, huh?
It's a real privilege to be talking to San Francisco Liberation Radio. This is where it's at, and I know that our conversation will quick as a flash be on the Internet. It'll be on real audio. It'll be on text. People will get this information, and my advice to young journalists and activists is to go for the net. Pacific is a dead dog, as far as I'm concerned.
On that note,
you need to be doing what you're doing. Go for it.
Great. Thanks, Andrew. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Beautiful.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Andrew Phillips, former program director at WBI, with insights on what's going on there. You're not going to hear any other station talk about except San Francisco Liberation Radio. It is 4:28. And this is Jeffrey Blankford with What's Going On. And we are now going to shift reels and to a conversation I had yesterday with Willie Ratcliffe, the publisher of the San Francisco Bayview, or award-winning newspaper in the Bayview Hunters Point area, about the situation, the local elections, the national elections. He talked about deregulation, and I'm going to go to that right now.